Welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. I am your host, Cam Silver.
I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
Man, let me tell you something. This weekend is going to be a good weekend. It's the start of the NBA playoffs, but before we get to the NBA playoffs, there's some stuff still going on in the NFL.
Some things still circulating in the NFL locker rooms, yes, sir.
So, as we all know, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are still in a standoff. There's still no movement regarding contracts with Lamar, but they did just sign Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year deal, $18 million, $15 million guaranteed. What does that possibly mean for Lamar?
That's the big question around this is how much of this did they really do to get Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
And I think that they did it out of 100%, we'll go with 85. I'll go with 85% they did this for him just because of the rumors and the whole stigma regarding the Ravens organization not being able to get wide receivers. They go out and they get Odell. Did they overpay for him? Probably, coming off of two ACL injuries in the last 3 years.
I can see that.
But, like, also, too, though, you got to take into consideration is that had he not got hurt during that Super Bowl for the Rams, I think he would have been Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because those first two catches, he was ready.
He was on his way. It looked like to me he was probably going to get 2 to 3 touchdowns in that game alone. So.
He might have had 2-3 touchdowns in the first half.
Oh, yeah, easily.
In the first half, Cooper Kupp.
Easily.
So that's what the Ravens are potentially bringing for Lamar. It's just about can they coexist now? And it's also about will this even entice Lamar Jackson to come back
whatever contract it is.
Exactly. It's big, but I think Odell's deserving of it. And we'll see how it goes. I can't really talk that much about it. I love Odell. I just want to see him win, to be quite honest. And it's a really good sight to see with him in Lamar.
Same. I like it. I think, obviously, you know, like you're saying, the biggest thing is will Lamar stay? You know, they had dinner together. They partied together afterwards after Odell had signed. But I feel like they would need another receiver out there because – you know, you still have Mark Andrews, but you have so much focus on both of those two. You need somebody else to offset.
Offset it, yeah, I agree.
You know, you need somebody else on the other side of the field that's going to, you know, be like, okay, now we have to look at everything. Mm-hmm. We don't just have to look at Odell, Mark Andrews.
Or
we have to look at
whatever side that they're on.
Exactly. We have to look at this other guy who could be in the slot, who could be on the outside of numbers. We have to look at the running backs. We know with J.K. Dobbins back there, and we still obviously have Lamar Jackson to worry about. Mm-hmm. So this would be a good step, but I feel like they are missing a piece or two.
I agree. I can agree with that because all of that focus is going to be on Lamar and then stacking that box and then because you really only got to – you're just going to have to guard Odell.
Correct.
And Mark Andrews.
Correct.
And my thing – the funny thing is about this, though, is that Odell, he's the first 1,000-yard – like, when was the last time they had a 1,000-yard receiver outside of Marquise Brown? And then – because Marquise did it, I think, like, his second year.
I think it's his second year from Austin.
One of those two. Mark Andrews don't count. He's a tight end. They don't – they haven't
had
him
I don't remember ever.
In years. So it – you're adding something that can really be beneficial to the team. It's just about will it work? Will they stay healthy? Will both of them stay healthy long enough
to
make a run into the playoffs?
Especially at the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You can't be missing those 5 games at the end now. You can't do that, Lamar. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know. I'm hoping for the Ravens' sake that they keep him. You know, the fans are very grateful for Lamar from everything that I see. You know, obviously being a Steelers fan, I see it, you know, all the time. So it'll be good for him to stay there, but who knows? But moving on, we got Saquon Barkley. He's not showing up to OTAs, neither will Dexter Lawrence because they are both still figuring out their whole contract negotiation. Barkley his franchise tag where I think it's $10 million. He won it he wanted $14 million, and they offered him $12 million.
Wow.
before they had to put the franchise tag on him. Mm-hmm. And then when it came down to who was going to get the franchise tag, whether it was Daniel Jones or Saquon, they ended up getting something done with Jones and not Saquon. But for Giants fans, including yourself and everything, stay patient. I know it feels weird. It feels like, I know it is that.
It's getting to that point where, like, you're starting to be like, oh no.
Yeah,
with
I know.
This organization.
I know.
Once you start to hear, like, the question marks around Saquon, I don't like that.
I know.
I don't like that at all.
I know. But I say, you know, they clearly need Saquon because of what he did last season. I seen a few people try to knock him off saying, like, oh, he doesn't deserve the contract, blah, blah, blah. Look, he was their most productive asset.
We lost all our receivers, and he basically was our receiver.
Exactly.
Out the backfield.
Exactly. He became a receiver, and he also still had to run the ball. Like,
we wouldn't have made it that far without him and without the... And Daniel Jones played great. Don't get me wrong. He played great. But...
The engine.
It's... You need Saquon there.
He's the engine.
You need Saquon there. Exactly. He is the engine that starts the entire machine of the Giants. The entire thing. And then not get him held down... Maybe you do it next year because you don't got the money right now.
Right.
Or you don't got the cap space possibly.
Right.
But you need to get that deal
done. You need to get it
done. You can't let him walk away.
Yeah, no. And he's not going to, from the looks of it, I don't blame him. I wouldn't play on a franchise tag. So
Not with his injury history.
Mm-mm.
On a franchise tag, no guaranteed dollars.
It's not worth it.
It's not.
It's not worth it.
Go get your money first. Get your bag first. And then we'll talk. But hopefully Brian Daboll and them and the whole organization can convince him to come back at least, you know?
I think
like, just rather than, like, not, don't be focused on the money right now. Let's just get this dub.
Yeah.
Let's try and, like, make a run at the championship, and then we'll see.
Get, like, a 1 or 2 year deal, and
exactly.
Then after that, try to figure something out. Yeah, I can see that. That'd be the smart way to go. But moving on, we got the NBA playoffs.
NBA playoffs.
And... These matchups, I really like some of these matchups. We'll start off with the East. The Celtics will have the Hawks after the Hawks beat the Heat in that 7-8 game, which was crazy to
Trocious.
Me because I did not expect the Hawks to win that game at all, actually,
neither did
now
I.
I think about it.
Neither did I.
We got the Sixers and the Nets, and we got the Cavs and Knicks. Before we get, because I feel like we're going to really go in on that Cavs-Knicks series. The Sixers and the Nets.
Sixers in five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sixers in five.
I can see that. I can see the Nets stealing one, maybe game three, or maybe even a game four. Yeah, but I don't see.
I got Sixers in five. And the fact that Ben Simmons got shut down after.
Yeah, after
y'all made the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, you're there.
Yeah, he didn't play. He hasn't played since, I think it was he hasn't played since, like, a couple games after or before All-Star break.
I think it was after.
After,
I think it was,
right?
Like, I think he maybe played, like, 1 or 2 games after All-Star break, and that was
and then
it.
Then after that was it.
What are you doing?
Back problems,
your team is in a good position. 45-37. That's how you finish it. You clinch that 6 seed. You don't even need to worry about the play-in whatsoever. You didn't even need to worry about that. And you mean to tell me you can't play? Everybody, Spencer Dinwiddie going crazy. You got Mikal Brooklyn Bridges going crazy.
Yep.
Cam Johnson going wild. I still love Clax. So you got a squad. And if Ben Simmons comes in, now you got this crazy defensive presence during the playoffs against Philly, who he should know how they play. He should know how to lock down Joel Embiid and a Tyrese Maxey
mm-hmm.
and Tobias Harris. He should be that focal point on defense. And to not be there, that's a little concerning. That's why I say Sixers and five, just because of the play of Joel Embiid, MVP right now.
Right.
But I think the Nets still won at home. Maybe make it interesting.
Yeah.
Just because you never really know how James Harden's gonna show up either.
Correct. James Harden and Tobias Harris, they both still very iffy.
Exactly.
All the time.
Exactly. So it's Nets had, let's just say they kept like a KD at the time, and then Ben Simmons came, like he was still who he needs to be. Like mm-hmm. we wanted him to be who he needed to be.
Right.
I would have picked Nets over 76ers.
That's why I always question why did KD leave, because there was a good squad that was being that was still around him.
Exactly.
Like, he still had a good squad around him that I feel like, you know, you could defy the odds. You could go on a run like how LeBron did in that 2018 season.
You won't need to see Milwaukee or Boston till the second round.
Right.
So you just take out Philadelphia when you need to, and you'll get a little bit of rest, and let's go. And then you keep going. But, I mean, hey, he wanted to go play a better brand of basketball. I can blame him for that, but I can't blame him for that.
Yeah, that's
so we're just going to leave that alone there.
That's a topic probably for like that's probably the off season. That's going to be a big off season topic actually now that I think about it. But,
yes.
But yeah, no, I like the Sixers. You know, I feel like I've seen about 3 or 4 Sixers games over the past few years. And every time it was against the Nets, obviously. But Joel Embiid is just a different person.
Like, he's a monster. When he really wants to be, and he has that drive and that killer mentality.
Yeah.
When he has that, and you can see it in his face and his eyes, that's when everybody should be scared. But he needs to come with that every night.
Yeah.
Regardless of how James Harden is playing, I don't care. He needs to have that ball in his hand, damn near every possession.
Every possession should be how he played against Jokic.
Yes. Yes.
That one Saturday afternoon game on ABC. Mm-hmm. He has to come out and he has to just be firing on all cylinders. Like, every game has to be like, this is the game, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It has to be that type of way in order for them to actually get through the East, not just through this Nets series, but to get through the Celtics, you know, get through Milwaukee. You have to show everybody, you know, who you really are.
Everybody's pretty much writing off Philly. Like, everybody's saying they're a second round team.
Yeah.
Like, or everybody really thinks that it's Milwaukee and Boston Eastern Conference Finals. That's what everybody's getting into right now. Joel Embiid got something to prove. He really do. To make sure like nobody else is going to keep talking like this.
I feel like Joel Embiid has something to prove, and I feel like also James Harden has something to prove.
James Harden has the most to prove on the team, absolutely. I agree.
I feel like he's going to be the X factor for this team. He's going to be the X factor for this team. If he can show up and he can get you his 20-10, 25-10 type of game, I'm not asking, you know, for Houston James Harden. That's something we can leave in the past.
That. Yeah.
But, you know, 20 points and 10 assists is going to go a long way.
A very long way.
And then, obviously, everybody else will have to do their chip-ins. But as long as those two do what they have to do, they can navigate and move the way that they want to move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, too, though, I will say, when Boston came in to Philadelphia two weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and they beat the absolute breaks off of them in Philly.
Right.
They beat them by, like, it was like 20 or 30 points. That says a lot, too, because Joel was playing. James Harden was playing. Tobias was playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Boston is the second best team in the East. You gotta come with some fire and some edge.
Yeah, and that's always a team that they either play close or they always get blown.
It's never in between. It's either close or get blown out. They're never the ones doing the blowing out, though.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's their biggest problem. Even when they had Ben Simmons, you know, a few years ago. They were never able to be that team that was able to dominate Boston.
I agree.
But.
All right. Knicks, all right. Cleveland?
Yes.
Who you got? How many games?
I got. Julius Randle is still out. From what I last heard, he still has not practiced. I would love for it to be the Knicks, obviously, but. What are you really going to do with Donovan Mitchell in the playoffs?
It's not even, no matter how much pressure you put on him, it's almost like he's always going to find a way to score the ball. He will find a way to score the basketball. So how do you stop that? And then how do you stop Evan Mobley and Jared Allen as well? How do you force them into uncomfortable situations on the offensive end as well, while Knicks are on offense? Because you got two twin towers that's just going to be protecting the paint.
Correct.
Jalen Brunson, he's a small guard. You know, it's not like he go Julius Randle, really Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
Those three are really gonna have to be, and Mitchell Robinson's probably the most important. Just because of
Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein.
Those two are gonna be the most important. I don't even think Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, and Jalen Brunson will be as important in this first round matchup just simply because of I think that they can guard Donovan and Jalen Brunson can do what he needs to do to will the team, but it's also about can they stop that rebounding power that Cleveland has.
Right.
Because they do have it.
Oh, yeah. Jared Allen is a beast on the boards. There's nothing you can really do with him.
You could log him in for 10 rebounds automatically a night. Automatically. As soon as he steps on the floor. How are you going to stop that? You got to limit your limit their second chance points. You got to get your second chance points better. Mm-hmm. Defensive rebounding, box out, everything.
Yeah,
it's got to be a complete team effort.
Like I said, Julius Randle still hasn't practiced, so that's where I'm leaning towards with this series. If Randle isn't healthy, then the Knicks are not going to win this series. Plain and simple. I love Jalen Brunson. I think Jalen Brunson is. You know, I feel like he should be on like one of the
all NBA
teams.
Second or third team.
Yeah, he should be.
Yes, I agree.
He should be considered up there. But if you don't have Julius Randle there with his, 25 and 10, I believe it's 25 and 10, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, if it's 25, 10, and 4 assists, then you're not really gonna do much. RJ Barrett, I love RJ Barrett, but RJ Barrett is very streaky.
I'm going to be honest. I don't trust him.
I don't trust him, exactly.
Trust him.
There's not a lot of trust there.
I can't trust him in these type of situations. He's going to have to show me different. That's the only way. He has to show me that if the game is on the line against Cleveland,
he has to show me he could take over. He could.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He give me the ball, get out of the way. I'll either go to the basket or I'll end up creating my own jump shot.
Don't let the Knicks lose, Cam. Don't let the Knicks lose. Don't let the Knicks lose.
Look.
You don't want to see me if they do.
Look.
I swear.
I got Cavs in 6.
I'm just going to go with Knicks in 7.
Okay. I don't blame you for that, honestly. I don't.
I'm going to go with Knicks in 7. I'm more than likely wrong, but it's okay.
I got
faith in my New York brethren.
I love the Knicks. I really do.
And I want them to win so bad.
I love the Knicks. I really do. But I can't turn my back on Donovan Mitchell.
Turning my back on Donovan Mitchell. It's about me having more faith in the Knicks, trying to have more hope and faith in the Knicks.
Okay. I don't blame you. I can't knock you for it, but okay. Okay.
I feel like I just opened Pandora's box here.
Probably, yeah.
I definitely just did.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's move to the West.
Boy, oh boy.
The Lakers almost got themselves into a whole lot of trouble and almost cost themselves the 7th seed because Anthony Davis decided to be dumb and fouled Mike Conley on the last second jump shot. But, oh my God.
How do you lose him off? How do you lose him off the pick? Let him shoot the 3. He misses the 3 very badly, but you still foul him.
My problem is that he's done this dumb thing before. He did it again with Dallas that one time. Kyrie Irving was going to the basket. He's thinking Kyrie's going to lay the ball up or whatever. So he goes after him instead of staying home on Davis Bertans. And Davis Bertans hits a game-winning 3 at the buzzer.
You can't have those defensive mental lapses.
No, especially not against the Grizzlies.
You are way too good, Anthony Davis. And even the two people that were guarding Mike Conley on that were Anthony Davis and LeBron James, your two best players.
Your two best, yeah.
You can't have that. You got to have some type of you got to have better communication. I've seen a lot of miscommunication and lack of communication from the defensive end from them. They have been a better defensive team since
the trade.
All-Star break and the trade. They have been, but it's almost like it's still not all the way there.
Yeah, it's
and to me it seems like the teams are beating themselves more than the Lakers are winning.
Right. That's what it is at this point. I feel like that's what it is. They're just able to capitalize on like certain little things that other teams aren't able to capitalize themselves on. So they're just they're taking advantage of what they can.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. And that's concerning to me because I'm not really as concerned with it against the Grizzlies because the Grizzlies are still young.
Still young. They're missing Steven Adams.
They're missing Steven Adams, exactly.
Triple J gets in a lot of foul trouble.
Right. And there's a lot of factors in there where I'm not as concerned with the Grizzlies. But if they were to make it past the Grizzlies, they would play, if I'm not mistaken, they would play either the Kings or Warriors. And then both of those teams, you can't make any mistakes on.
You can't.
Especially how they play.
How high-powered offensively they are.
Exactly. So the Lakers have to really tighten up on offense and defense on a lot of their stuff. But as you guys know, I'm a Laker fan. So, yes, I will be picking the Lakers. I have the Lakers in, I'll put them in six.
Six? I got Memphis in six.
Okay. I don't blame you for that.
If Jaren Jackson Jr. can stay out of foul trouble, if Dylan Brooks can stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah, if Dylan Brooks can stay out of his own head.
If Xavier Tillman can do a consistent job of making Anthony Davis uncomfortable, and if Dylan Brooks, he's talking a lot, and I love it. That's why I'm so interested to see. You know he's going to guard LeBron damn near the entire game.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's going to take on that primary defender spot.
Right.
So that's going to be interesting, because if he can, nobody can neutralize LeBron James, but you can stop. You can try and stop how he provides for other people.
Correct.
So, and I think Memphis can do that because they're such dogs on the defensive end.
Yeah.
That they can do that.
They can, yeah.
You know?
I feel like the only thing that would make me comfortable with picking this is the fact that LeBron has kind of found his swagger back.
Groove,
he kind of got his rhythm back.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last couple games, he's been shooting it. Like, he's really, like, jump shots are really falling, like, way better than they were in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably, so as long as he can hit his jump shots, as long as AD can stay aggressive and not, you know, mess around and on the boards and stuff like that and do like little dumb stuff that he usually does, you know, and D-Lo comes to play, that's going to be the X factor now that I think about it.
Yes.
D-Lo was like literally missing. Like, I could have put a missing wanted poster outside of crypto.com arena.
We needed an APB out for him.
Because that was, oh my goodness gracious.
Dennis Schroeder came.
Yeah, thank God.
Dennis Schroeder came to y'all saving grace.
And now that I'm thinking about it too, it's going to be more so the veterans that are going to have to carry this team. It's not going to be the young guys like we want it to be. I feel like they're going to play good in stretches.
Yes,
but it's going to have to be
not consistently over the game. Yes.
Exactly. But over time, it's going to have to be LeBron, AD, Dennis Schroeder. It's going to have to be, you know, the veterans on the team that's going to be able to carry them. But let's try to get into one of my favorite matchups right now. It's the Kings and the Warriors.
Kings-Warriors.
The Kings are coming in as a big underdog. I got a friend of mine that I work with at my other job, and he, you know, he's high on the Kings. And I told him, I said, you might have to calm down on that. And the only reason why I'm going to tell you this is because the Kings play an up-and-down game. But when we get to the playoffs, it's totally different. It's half court now.
All half court. You got
to
be able to score in the half
court. You got to be able to score in the half court. And you have to, and now it's more of a dinking game than it is.
And Warriors been there before.
Exactly.
They've been there before.
Exactly.
It's just about, can they capitalize, you know, in Sacramento.
And exactly.
I don't have a problem with them at home. And I don't think that we're going to have a problem with them at home, but it's on the road. But the fact that both of these teams are like really bad defensively,
yeah,
it adds something else to this game right now. That it's every team in the West has either got a good offense, bad defense, good defense, bad offense.
Yeah,
it's one of the two.
Yeah,
and so to see this, that's an interesting matchup.
But I'm interested because now Andrew Wiggins is back. How does that shape the Warriors' defense now?
I don't even think that. I don't know, because he hasn't played in so long.
He hasn't played in, like, what, 23 games straight, I believe it is?
He hasn't played in, how is he going to be rusty? Like,
then from everything, from what I've been hearing, you know, on listening to Get Up in the Morning, everyone's saying he looks good, you know, conditioning-wise. He's getting back to himself. He's looking fine. He should be ready to go Saturday.
I just think you're asking a lot of him. That's
I feel like I
to come back this late in the season, the first game of the playoffs, like
I feel like
that's a lot.
I feel like I would be asking more of him if I'm asking him to score a certain amount.
Yes.
I'm not asking him to score. You I want him to defend more.
Understandable.
That's my thing.
Understandable.
If I can get you, because you can easily get back into conditioning when you start defending people. I don't care much about the offense. Mm-hmm. Steph, Clay, Jordan Poole, you know, all of those guys. And Jonathan Kuminga, he started stepping up a lot on the offensive end. They will be fine.
They'll be fine.
But when it comes to the defensive end, you know, Draymond Green, you know, Andrew Wiggins guarding, you know, the probably like a De'Aaron Fox more than likely. So
De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk.
Malik Monk, exactly. Yeah. So as long as, you know, their defense comes to show up, I think they'll be okay. Fine. Like Clay said, if they're healthy, you never know.
All right, real quick. Hold on. Phoenix Clippers, how many games? Who you got?
Oh, my goodness. This is tough because, you know, obviously the Suns have KD, but the Clippers have Kawhi.
And you know how Kawhi been balling lately.
And Russ is doing his thing.
Russ has been balling, too.
Russ is doing his thing, too. Yo, oh, my goodness. All right, this one. This is probably my most difficult one. I'll give it Clippers in 7.
Wow. Okay. I'm going Phoenix in 6.
Okay.
I think the scoring prowess of D-Book, CP3.
That's the X factor.
KD. Hopefully DeAndre ain't come to play too.
The only thing for me, for them, is their depth. They don't have that much depth.
No depth at all, yes.
And I think if the Clippers can stay fresh and keep their guys going, and depending on how deep Ty Lue wants to go into his depth, if he goes about, like, I don't know, like, say 7-8 guys, I think, and they all consistently...
That'd be an upset.
Yeah, and they're all consistent, then I could say, yeah. Then I could see the Clippers winning, but... The Suns, obviously, because of who they are. But I think the thing is, how are they going to react when they get into tight game situations now that the intensity level is up?
It's higher. But that's why you need a calming presence like Kawhi.
Right.
That's where he comes. That's where he's that person. He's him.
Exactly.
He's him.
And that's why it pains me to say it, but I would pick the Clippers over the Suns.
We shall see.
All right.
We're going to see.
Oh, man. Thank you guys for coming to another great episode of the Silver Boys. Appreciate you guys for listening. Love all the feedback that you guys have been giving us. You guys are amazing. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week about more of the playoffs, maybe more NFL talk, depending on what else happens with the draft coming up. So who knows, but talk to you later.